brought to you by Penguin.
Decision Time, written and read by Neil Shortland and Lawrence Allison.
Decision Time, How to Make the Choices Your Life Depends On, by Lawrence Allison and Neil Shortland. Dedications. To my son, Heath, 6'4" with size 13 feet, an unusually good problem solver and lateral thinker, though he has the humility to never brag about it. I wish I had your patience with others and your inner calm, especially under pressure. Parents, never say you can't learn from your kids. To the doctors and nurses at Alderhay Children's Hospital, who saved Heath's life when he was a breath away from being taken from us at 9 months.
To Josephine Ewan and the $1 beer that changed my life. Introduction. From war zones to wedding planning. Time was against me, and I had to make a choice. Should I go down this street and risk being shot, or should I keep going and risk being blown up by an improvised explosive device? I simply don't know what to do for the best. I want to have a big wedding with all our friends, but I also just want to be married, and all this fuss is getting me down. The first of these quotes came from a member of the United States Armed Forces. We were asking him about the hardest decision he faced during a deployment in Afghanistan. He told us he'd had to choose between taking an unfamiliar route through a very violent part of town or doubling back down the route he had just taken, a move that is advised against as insurgents sometimes plant bombs on routes they have seen soldiers on. The second quote comes from a friend who was deciding between having his wedding in the next 12 months so he and his wife could start their married life together, have kids and buy a house, or delay the wedding by 12 months so that more people could make the long and expensive trip to Australia, where they were now living. On the face of it, these decisions seem worlds apart, and in many respects they are. The first was thrust on a soldier in the heat of Afghanistan, in the midst of a then 18-year-long war. The second was faced by a couple sitting in a comfy 3-bedroom flat in metropolitan Sydney. Yet look at these decisions from a psychological standpoint, and you find several distinct similarities. Firstly, neither decision maker had faced a decision like this before. Our soldier called the choice before him unique and not one that he had trained for, while our friend had never had to juggle wedding planning, let alone a wedding that involved hundreds of people flying across the globe. Furthermore, in both decisions, all options presented the decision maker with a chance of a good outcome and equally a chance of a bad outcome. For our soldier, either decision could have resulted in significant physical harm or the safe return to base. For our friend, either decision could have a negative outcome, delay the wedding, but you might find people still cannot travel or get married now, but forever regret that so many friends and family members hadn't been there to see you tie the knot. Equally, either choice could lead to a positive outcome. What is a 12-month delay if it means you get to have your dream wedding? Or maybe you have the wedding now, and even with the smaller guest list, you have the day of your dreams with your nearest and dearest. And finally, in both situations, the only way to know the outcome was to make the decision. We have spent our professional careers helping soldiers, police officers, medical professionals, and others in high-stakes environments make tough decisions when lives are on the line. Lawrence's work on operational debriefing has seen him working on cases as diverse as planning for the London and Beijing Olympics, the response to the 7/7 London bombings in 2005, the way Europe's biggest ever non-wartime fire at Bunsfield in the UK in 2005 was handled, the disaster victim identification team's response to the Boxing Day tsunami in Indonesia in 2004, and the poisoning of Russian dissident Alexander Litvinenko in London in 2006, as well as countless other major homicide and serial rape investigations. Neil's first job was working at the United Kingdom's top science laboratory, Porton Down, where he helped soldiers prepare for their deployments to Afghanistan. Since then, he's worked with soldiers...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?